I don't know if you can read that.
By my spirit.
It says, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts, from Zechariah 4:6. Now, I love this image here. You have this guy laying back, and I guess the Spirit of God coming into him, and it can also be going out, speaking through him. It's a good picture. Father, in the name of Yeshua, Lord, I want to dedicate the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart to you. I pray, Lord, that for those who are here, that you would give them understanding and discerning minds. Help each one of us to listen intently to your word and not just hear words, O God. Help us, Lord, to be a people who speak the truth and not lies. That your word would be planted deep within our heart, produce fruit for you. And Lord, we want to give you all the glory and the honor and all the praise and all the worship and all the majesty. In Yeshua's name, amen. Well, last week we had a great Hanukkah service. Who enjoyed it last week? It was a great time. The week before last week, I was going to share this message, but I didn't get a chance to. Actually, this message here is actually related to Hanukkah. Now, during the season of Hanukkah, one of the major themes revolves around our reliance and our dependence on God. It involves our ability to lay aside what we would consider the natural and the normal things and seek things which are supernatural and things which are miraculous. And that's what Hanukkah speaks to us about, miracles and the miraculous. But it's also our capacity to lay aside our feelings and our fears, the doubts that we have, our worries and our concerns and our problems and our anxieties and our sicknesses and our illnesses and all the pains and all the sorrows that we go through and all of our sufferings. We want to lay all those things aside and accept God's strength and God's victory. Now, let me tell you, that's not easy to do when you're going through difficult times to say, oh, no problem, I can just lay aside those pains. I can just forget about those illnesses. I can just say, you know, don't worry about those financial needs, even though your bills are late or whatever problem you may be going through. It's easy to say, let's lay them aside. But it's not actually easy to do those things. It's difficult, especially when you're suffering and going through a very difficult or painful time in your life. But you know, it's the power to put at the very feet of the Messiah, at his footsteps, all of our weaknesses and all of our failings. It sounds easy, but it's hard to do, to just give it all to the Lord. And I know we desire, each one of us want to do that. We want to give the Lord all those things, but it's not easy at all to do it. Now, during the first Shabbat of Hanukkah, which was actually last Saturday, so I'm actually kind of off a week because of, you know, that one week where we didn't even have a message because the Spirit of God was moving so much, you know, by His Spirit here. But during that first Shabbat of Hanukkah, this scripture here, or this portion from Zechariah, is actually read in synagogues throughout the world. And Zechariah 4:6 says, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel. I always love that name, Zerubbabel. Let me hear everyone say, Zerubbabel. It's a cool word, isn't it? But it was a good name because he was a great man of God. And it says, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, not by might nor by power, but by my ruach, by my spirit, says the Lord Almighty. Let me give you a little bit of a background to the events surrounding these words that we read in Zechariah 4:6. In 538 BCE, the conqueror of Babylon, who was Cyrus the Great, who was the king of Persia, he issued a decree. And this decree allowed the Jewish people to return back to Jerusalem and to rebuild the Holy Temple. It was about 70 years after they had been taken captive from Israel to Babylon. And first it was Nebuchadnezzar and his armies who took them, but then Cyrus the Great conquered Babylon, and now Cyrus, he has a change of heart. I don't know, maybe the Lord God spoke to him. I have to believe that. Maybe the Lord God put that within his heart, but God used this Cyrus to free the Jewish people who have been captive for 70 years, to free them and allow them to go back to the land of Israel. But just not to go back, but to rebuild the walls and to begin to rebuild the temple. It's kind of cool. I just bought for Hanukkah, I bought for my wife, and I bought for Joshua a coin from Israel. It was the temple coin, and it came from Hamikdash. It's part of the Temple Mount Faithful Institute and all of that. And it has on the front of this coin, it has Donald Trump, President Trump, on it. And next to it, it has Cyrus the Great, because Cyrus the Great let the Jewish people, after 70 years, go back to the land. And President Trump, after 70 years of Israel's existence, allowed the embassy to be moved there. So this coin has the portrait of both of them on it, and there's Hebrew and English and stuff on the back, well, and all of that. It's a really, you don't have it with you, do you? Okay. I was going to put it up for the highest bid. No. But anyway, it's really nice. But anyway, when Cyrus the Great let the children of Israel go back to the land, there were about 50,000 of them. It wasn't all of them, because some of them didn't want to go back. They liked it in Babylon. They liked the culture. They liked the food. They liked just the whole thing about it. Didn't want to go back. But only 50,000 of them went back. But they were led by Zerubbabel and Joshua. And they journeyed home and they began to work on the temple and to rebuild the walls. Now Zerubbabel, let me tell you about Zerubbabel. He was from the royal line of King David. So he was actually royalty. He was of that lineage of King David. And now Joshua, he was the Kohen HaKadol, or Kohen Gadol. He was the high priest. So led by the rightful heir to the throne of David and the high priest, who was put in that position by the Lord God himself through Aaron and the priesthood, they were leading the children of Israel back to the land. Now, the task that was set before them was really monumental, because when they got back to the land, you know, the temple was pretty much totally destroyed. The walls had been destroyed. Everything, the whole city was just in a ruins. And they were going back to try to fix this. Try to make some sense out of this whole thing. Try to fix the temple. Try to fix the walls. Try to make everything right again. But it was monumental. Everybody was opposing them. The enemies, they had so many enemies opposing them. Nobody wanted the Jewish people to rebuild the temple. Everyone believed that they got what they deserved. And what happened to them was because of their sin and their rebellion. And everyone was against it. But they were tasked to rebuild and restore that holy temple, which had been completely decimated by Nebuchadnezzar about 70 years earlier. Now the Lord was telling Zerubbabel, that would not be through his own might. In other words, Zerubbabel, again, he was from the lineage of King David. He had the authority of King David, the power of King David. And he's telling Zerubbabel here, it's not going to be by your own strength. It's not going to be the might of your hands. It's not going to be because you're of royal lineage from the seed of King David. It's not going to be for any of those reasons that you're going to be able to accomplish this task, be able to rebuild this temple, to be able to fix those walls. It's not because of who you are and who you came from, but it's going to be by my Spirit, says the Lord, the Spirit of the living and enduring God. And Zerubbabel was being encouraged to complete the rebuilding of that temple. And he was being assured that the Spirit of God would enable him and give him the ability and give him the strength to accomplish this, because God himself was doing this. This was not a thing of man. This was a thing of God here. And there would be no obstacle that would be too large to prevent God's work from being accomplished. It's going to happen. And the same thing in our lives. No matter what the obstacle, no matter what the suffering, no matter what the problem, no matter what the sickness, no matter what the illness, no matter what the financial problems, no matter what you're going through, with the Spirit of God enabling you and giving you the power and the authority and the ability to do these things, you're going to be victorious. You're going to be. Nothing is going to get in the way of you being able to do this. Nothing will prevent God's work from being accomplished in your life. Now, the Lord alone drove that point home to Zerubbabel in Zechariah 4:7. And he says to Zechariah, or to Zerubbabel, "What are you, O mighty mountain? Before Zerubbabel, you will become level ground. Then he, Zerubbabel, will bring out the capstone to shouts of God bless it, God bless it, God bless it." So he's telling Zerubbabel here, even a mountain before you is not going to stop you. It won't get in your way. It won't be an obstacle. Before Zerubbabel, this mountain is going to become level ground. What a promise that any obstacle, even if it seems like a monster in front of you, God can level it. God can totally eradicate it, destroy it, and get it out of your way. And then you, by the power of God, will be able to take out the capstone. What is the capstone? It's like the cornerstone. Cornerstone in the temple. When they're building something, they always put a cornerstone. There's already one built for the third temple. It's in Israel now. It's been built for a number of years. It's an enormous stone. And it's all ready to be put in place, that capstone, that cornerstone, when God says it's time to do that. But that cornerstone, they said, that's Zerubbabel, you're going to be able to do this. You're going to be able to put this cornerstone, this capstone in place, because it's by my Spirit, says the Lord of hosts. Now, faith in the power of God's Ruach, His Spirit, can overcome mountainous obstacles without a doubt. The obstacles probably included, for Zerubbabel, opposition to the rebuilding of the temple, as well as the people's own unwillingness to persevere. Most of the people didn't even believe that it could take place or be accomplished. So his own people, the Jewish people who were with him, didn't believe that it was possible to do any of these things. His own people were against him. Many enemies were against him. Didn't want him to do that. But besides that, you know, Zerubbabel was probably feeling very inadequate. What do you mean I'm supposed to do this? What do you mean you're going to empower me? I see all of this around me, all these obstacles. How am I going to do this? He felt inadequate. He felt an inability to meet up to God's expectations. Now, have you ever felt that way, that you can't meet up to God's expectations? How many of you have felt that way? I feel it all the time. I don't feel worthy. I don't feel adequate to be able to live up to God's standards and what God wants for my life. It's a struggle, but all I can do is to trust in Him with all of my heart and pray, Lord, fill me with your Ruach. Fill me with your Spirit. Maybe it'd be good if I would just lay down on the ground or in bed and just open my mouth and say, come on, Spirit, and let it, you know, suck it in to me and fill me up or something like that. But yeah, I don't feel I can meet up to what God wants in my life. And I don't think any of us feel that sometime. Now, Zerubbabel, you know, he didn't possess the royal might and the power of his ancestors. We know about King David, the power, the authority, all the great deeds and everything he did. And we know about Solomon's temple and all that Solomon did and the wisest man that ever lived and all these things. He said, how can I compare myself to King David and King Solomon, my ancestors from the, you know, I'm from them. But look at them. Look at all the things they did. I can't do those things. What do I have compared to them? But in spite of all those mountains, the Lord assured Zerubbabel that he would be the one who would bring out that capstone, that cornerstone, that he would set things in place, that he would set things moving, that he would set things, you know, on a continuous path forward, that he would be able to do it, that Zerubbabel would be the one to set that final stone in place, which would mark the completion of the restoration of the temple. And then when he would do it, the scripture says in Zechariah 4:7 that God would bless it. It says, God bless it, God bless it, and God bless it. And that's what God wants to do in your life as well as you're setting your life in order, putting things in place, realizing that many times we have these great obstacles and we just don't feel adequate. But when we do the task that God has us to do and we go forward and trusting Him, relying on the Spirit within us, that the end result is God is going to bless what you've done in your faith and your trust in Him. God will say, I bless it, I bless it, I bless it. Thank you, Lord. And then all the people would shout the same words, God bless it, God bless it. When people would see what God has done in your life, they would thank you, thank the Lord and praise the Lord for what's been accomplished in your life. They would be calling down God's blessing and God's grace and God's favor upon the completed work here. Now, as believers in the Messiah, Yeshua, there's many times that the mountains and the obstacles set before us just seem insurmountable. I don't know about you, but sometimes for me, it seems that way. Sometimes the obstacles seem impossible to conquer, at least in my own strength and in my own ability. And just as Zerubbabel felt inadequate compared to King David and King Solomon, you know, we feel the same inadequacy. You know, we say to ourselves, you know, I stand up here, well, I'm not like Billy Graham. You know, I listen to Charles Stanley on the radio all the time, and I say, man, I'm not like Charles Stanley. I mean, I like him. His messages are really good. You know, I'm not like those people. How can I do these things? You may think the same thing. You know, I'm like not like these people. Trying to think of a woman like Joyce Myers or no, not her. I don't know who's a good Christian woman teacher out there. Anyone? Joyce Myers? Anyone else? She the only one? No, there's others? My wife over here. She's a great woman of God, a great teacher. But you may, and I've heard, you know, some people even say, well, you know, I'm not like Irene. You know, I don't have that boldness that she has and the way she shares and I've read her book. Have you all read her book? And they say, wow, I've never experienced those miracles that she's experienced or done those things she's done. You know, I can't be like an Irene or like a Rabbi Yossi. I just can't do those things. I don't have the faith and I don't have the strength to pass the test. And we may be in that spot where the bills are piling up. I've been there before. Let me tell you, years ago when we were in ministry in El Paso, and we had some tough times, lots of bills piling up. We had to do a consolidation to try to get out of the debt. And I mean, it looked like a mess that we'd never get out of it. And we did, praise the Lord. Lord helped us and all. God was always faithful. But maybe you're here today and you're saying, you know, you don't understand. The bills are, you know, higher than my ceiling right now. I can't pay my electric bill and my water bill and my car broke down and we don't have any groceries in the house and my kid needs clothes and all these things. You may be saying that. You may even feel totally overwhelmed. You may be saying, but my marriage is a disaster now. It's totally fallen apart. My kids are in rebellion. And then you may be feeling just totally physically and emotionally and spiritually dead. Have you ever felt that? Do any of you feel that now? Be honest. Some of you might. Or sometimes you're like this vacillating up and down. You might have highs and then you drop way low and then you climb up and then you drop way low. You may be thinking, my faith, my hope, and my trust have just been totally shattered. I have nothing left that I can even give anymore. But then in Zechariah 4:8, it says, then the word of the Lord came to me. The hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this temple. His hands will also complete it. Then you will know that the Lord Almighty has sent me to you. As the Lord was speaking concerning Zerubbabel, I believe he speaks to each and every one of us in this room today. The hands that have begun the work will also complete the work. God will help you. You'll see God's faithfulness to give you the strength and the courage to go on. Maybe you just need to lay down on the ground with your mouth open and say, Lord, fill me with your ruach, fill me with your spirit. I don't know that I've done exactly like that. I've prayed that before, but maybe I just need to open my mouth really wide like this and come on, Lord, come on, fill me. And who knows, maybe God will do that. He promises that He'll do that. Thank you, Lord. Now, Rachel, the Apostle Paul, spoke to the believers in Philippi these words in Philippians 1:6. Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to the completion until the day of Messiah Yeshua. Rav Shaul here, the Apostle Paul, was confident not only of what God had done so far for the believers in Philippi and forgiving their sins, but also of what God had done in the lives of each and every one of them and what God will do in each and every one of us as well. And when Messiah Yeshua returned, their salvation would be brought to fulfillment or completion. Rav Shaul here was stressing to the Philippians that God is the one who initiates the act of salvation and he continues it and will one day bring it to consummation. Likewise, it's God who initiates the work in each and every one of our lives here. And God will continue and one day will bring the work or our lives to its completion. In other words, we will see the capstone, the cornerstone put in place, marking the completion of the restoration process in your life. And we all need to go through a restoration process. We do. Especially when we come to the Lord from the world with all the filth of the world and all the baggage that we're carrying, we need to go through that process of restoration. We need to get stripped of all the world and just lay there and breathe in and suck in the Spirit of God. Thank you, Lord. We'll see that capstone marking the completion of that restoration of our life. We will one day receive that crown of life that God has promised to those who love Him, as it says in James chapter 1. There is in store for us that crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will reward us on that day of His appearing, as it says in 2 Timothy chapter 4. You know, we may feel at times that we're going nowhere, that the work of our life or the work of our hands is all in vain. You know, I feel that sometimes. I think all of us feel that at times in our life. That you feel you've just been trying and trying and working and working and nothing seems right. Everything seems wrong. You've blown it. You continue to blow it. You repent of it. But then you do it again, and then you repent and you do it again, and it's just a vicious cycle that nothing ever seems to be going right for you. That your toils and your trials, that our suffering and sacrifices are for naught. We feel that the work for the Lord has been insignificant, that we've barely scratched the surface. You know, the mountains may look large as ever, and the path is as crooked and full of rocks and briars and thorns as ever. But again, the Lord tells Zerubbabel in Zechariah chapter 4, verse 10, who despises, and I love this, who despises the day of small things? Who despises the day of small things? Men will rejoice when they see the plumb line in the hand of Zerubbabel. You know, for all of us, no matter what we've got to do, it always starts with something small. Even if it means just stepping down or stepping back or just moving forward or a little bit or just doing something. This plumb line for measuring the temple and the perimeters and all the thing. That was just a small beginning. Well, let's measure. Where was the temple exactly? Where were these walls? Let's start. Let's small. Let's get a string. Let's get a line. Let's figure things out. It's a small beginning. We all have to start small. But then as we keep going, we keep moving on, then we begin to see the success after success after success, to the point where it says here, men will rejoice when they see you've started, you're moving in the right direction. Men will rejoice when they see that plumb line. You know, some thought that the work of the second temple was insignificant compared to the first temple. Solomon's temple was just magnificent when you read about it. Just amazing, that temple. Remember when the Queen of Sheba came and Solomon showed her everything? She was just amazed at all the beauty and all the gold and the silver and all the things that were part of the temple. She was just amazed. And as they were starting to rebuild the temple, they were thinking, how can this ever compare to the glory of the first temple, that glorious temple of Solomon? But God was in the rebuilding process, in that rebuilding program. And by His ruach, by His Spirit, He would enable Zerubbabel to finish the work. And God is also in that rebuilding program in each and every one of our lives. By and through His Spirit, that work which He has begun will be completed, and it will be a glorious habitation for the Spirit of the living God. You know, the Lord says, don't worry if it seems like you're a failure. Don't worry. Don't worry if your life and the work of your hands seem insignificant. What are you, O mountains, O mighty mountains, before Zerubbabel, before Bob, before Irene, before Linda, before Raymond, before Bill and Amanda and Linda? You can call every name in here. before you, you will become level ground. No obstacle will keep you from doing God's appointed task in your life. Then you will bring out the capstone to the shouts of God bless it, God bless it. Yeshua shared to his disciples in Matthew 17, verse 20, I tell you the truth, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you. You know, the mustard seed was very small, and some would laugh at the potential of a mustard seed when you saw how small that it was. But Yeshua said in Matthew 13, 31, and 32 that the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and he planted in his field. Though it is the smallest of all your seeds, yet when it grows, it is the largest of garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and perch in its branches. And Zechariah 4:10 says, men will rejoice when they see the plumb line in the hand of Zerubbabel. People rejoice when they see that you are in the process of completing the task that God has appointed for you. And although the works of your hand seem small and they seem insignificant, people will find refuge in your lives, in our lives. People will come and perch in our branches. When they see what we have, when they see the Messiah within each one of us, when they see the Spirit of God within each one of us, they will perch upon us. They will want to be with us. They will want to receive what we have. People will find peace and shalom through our lives. We will cause people to rejoice when they see the work of God in our lives. You know, you need to remember that God has a plan and a purpose for your life. Sometimes it's hard to see that. Sometimes we think, how can God ever use me? You don't know what I've done. You don't know the pain that I've caused. You don't know the hurt that I've done upon people. You don't know about the lies I've spoken and the things I've stolen. You don't know about the sexual sins and the adulteries and all the areas where I failed God. You just don't understand. You don't know. But God understands, and God knows everything you've gone through and everything you did, and it doesn't matter who you were. What matters is who you are now in the Messiah Yeshua. It's what is now that matters. It's the Spirit of God within you now, which is changing you and transforming you and moving you and making you into that noble vessel for the kingdom of God. Forget about the past and all those things, because that's not who you are today. And that's not what God wants you to be. We hold back ourselves so much by thinking too much. But the Word of God says that you have the mind of Messiah. That you can take every thought captive and you can make it obedient to Him. And your thoughts need to be how you can bless the kingdom of God, not how awful you have been, because you've been changed. You've been transformed by the renewing of your mind. As it says in Romans, your mind is now renewed. You're not the same person anymore. Thank you, Lord. You know, Hanukkah is the feast of dedication. It recounts the story of the Maccabees' dedication to serving God wholeheartedly. It recalls a brightly lit menorah during a time of great darkness. It boldly proclaims God's profound miracles for His people. So again, in keeping with that spirit and the theme, and I know Hanukkah ended Monday evening, but this is a message I wanted to share earlier. But the Spirit of God, I won't say He didn't get in the way. He changed the way. He changed things. And I didn't get to share the message that week. But this is the season where we have to remember that God wants us to be a people who live a dedicated life to Him. So it's so important that we continue to rededicate our lives. It needs to be done almost on a daily basis. It's every day we have to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. Every day you have to apologize for what you've done. Every day you have to say, Lord, forgive me, Lord. When that guy, on the freeway and you gave him that nasty look and maybe some other things you shouldn't have given him. Forgive me, Lord, for doing that. Every day we struggle and have to live a dedicated life to serve the Lord with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And as Yeshua spoke and said that I am the light of the world, we need to truly be that. God wants us to be a light to the world. He tells us, let our light shine so before men that they would see our good deeds and praise our Father who is in heaven. And as we get closer to the end of time, the end of days, people are looking for things. People are looking for hope. And in their looking for hope, they end up in the Church of Latter-day Saints. They get hooked up with Jehovah's Witnesses. They get involved in the occult. They get involved in Wicca. They get involved in so many other things. Because they're seeking. Man is a spiritual being and it seeks after the spiritual and the supernatural. And we need to be the ones to direct them to the true light. That is the light of Messiah. Though they don't fall under false lights and get caught up in all sorts of crazy things. So I just want to encourage you all. Don't give up. As this year is coming to the end, maybe this was a tough year for you. Maybe you went through some horrible things this year. Leave it behind. It's over. 2019 is coming. It's a year of hope. It's a year of opportunity. It's a new chance to shine brightly in a dark world and lead many to Yeshua. So let's do that. Let's make that our goal and that desire in our hearts. Amen? Amen. Amen. Stand with me, please.